From now until Christmas Day, we are featuring WGTD's Christmas Noon Tunes. At the end of every WGTD midday newscast, we'll feature a Christmas song by a local artist like this from WGTD's Greg Berg. So please join us for Christmas Noon Tunes, Monday through Friday, 12:20 p.m. here on WGTD HD.
This is WGTD HD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively
to GTD Radio. I am honored to say that I have had the opportunity to work with him personally this summer for 2 weeks during one of his annual training sessions. He's expanded certainly beyond the annual training sessions in the summertime and recently got back from a 9-week tour of Europe, which I hope he'll tell us something about today. But just a few brief words on what Theater for Living is. And David, you might be better equipped than I to give the short version of this. So welcome. It's great to see you.
Hi, Jonathan. Really nice to see you. I was already doing political theater. That started in 1981 when I was a professional actor who fell in with the wrong crowd and started a theater company that was at that time called Headlines Theater. Our first thing was an inaugural play about the housing crisis in Vancouver in 1981. Over time, the collective kind of dissolved. People didn't want to do administrative work. And I had turned into the person who was doing the raising of the money and the tour booking and then helping write the plays, etc. And the collective said to me, take it over, the structure. And I had a question inside me. We had been doing the issue and then lock ourselves in a room and pretend we were those people and make a play for them. And because we were young, and thought we had all the answers, we'd tell people how to fix their problems in our plays. And we were good at it. But I had a question in me. How do you do it with them, not for them and at them? And I pulled some money together to go to Europe to visit different theater directors on like a quest. And before I left, I wanted something to read. So I picked up this book. I had no idea what it was. And it was Paulo Freire's Pedagogy of the Oppressed. I just liked the title. Yeah. And I'm reading it, going through Europe, and it was blowing my mind because it was answering my questions. And then I got into a conference in Manchester, and there was this guy there, Chris Vine, who is now in New York, doing a demo of this thing called Theater of the Oppressed, Forum Theater, by this another Brazilian, Augusto Boal. Freire is also a Brazilian, and I'm sitting there going, holy crap. That's what I'm reading about in this book. And Boal, who had been arrested and tortured in Brazil for his theater work, was now in Paris and was doing a skills-sharing session in weeks. And the beauty of Europe, badoom, off to Paris. And Augusto and I think because I was already made of mentor, mentee, colleagues, and then very, very, very dear friends. And I was doing Theater of the Oppressed work, which has quite a strict model to it of oppressor and oppressed everywhere on the planet. It's not something that is specific to indigenous communities. And here in Canada, and I imagine also in the US, those issues are in many ways a product of colonialism and the theft of land and all many, many things that are attached to all of that. And they wanted me to work with them on a piece where we knew there would be an abuser in the play, but they wanted me to guarantee them that character would not be put on the stage as a monster, but rather as a human being in crisis who needed healing and out of that crisis doing things we would never condone. And so you could hate what the character was doing, but have compassion for the character. This was very challenging for me. Mm-hmm. I come out of my own troubled childhood. And, you know, that binary model made my politics much easier. I knew who the enemy was, and it was the people I disagreed with. Mm. But they were right. And we made this extremely powerful play called Out of the Silence that I know changed thousands of people's lives. And it did so because it invited people to see themselves in the abuser.
Mm-hmm.
Without being, with actions not being condoned, but with understanding the context of how a human being gets there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not born to abuse. And what it really showed me was that I was tired even then of dealing with symptoms, and that there was a way to get down underneath the symptom. Yes, we know there's a lot of violence in the world. Why are we growing so much violence?
Hmm.
Down beneath the symptom and into root causes. And that really started me on a path of really changing the work that I was doing. And over time, I felt, out of respect to Augusto, because that oppressor-oppressed model and the strictness of it really left the work and became much more based in systems theory. I've had a lifelong interest in physics and changed the name to Theater for Living. And the work now, as the world polarizes more and more, is really hard, but it's hard.
That was brilliant. Thank you so much. Yeah. And it's interesting that just yesterday I was watching Out of the Silence with my students here at the
really?
University. I wanted them to see an excellent example of what the Forum Theater event is, where all this is leading to. And so, yes, we watched it over two class sessions. We finished it on Thursday, and it is so powerful. You know, without going into the details, I'll just say that the backstory of the so-called abuser, the window into what makes somebody into that kind of person, and he's not the enemy. He's somebody that we have some empathy for.
Made up until 2018, when I decided to close the company. And if people are interested, all of those plays are viewable for free on the Theater for Living website.
It's an incredible gift.
At theaterforliving.com in the video section. You just have to scroll down a bit past the little speeches from me, and you'll start seeing lots and lots of plays.
Oh, it's an amazingly rich website, and you'll see the plays. But if you also want to hear David Diamond speak in detail about various aspects of his approach, that is also there. So it's really quite fantastic. And
the plays are artistically much more interesting.
Yeah.
Hearing me talk.
Yeah. I don't know if this is a little bit inside baseball, but hey, it's my show, so I get to ask the questions. I know from experience, from having worked with you over the summer and also from having watched some of your plays online, that one of your many talents is, as you put it during the training, you know how to bang a play together. And what happened during the training was that my group brought you some raw material, and we had cast the play, we had developed a storyline, we had some ideas of what the issues, the needs and the wants of the characters were, and you helped us shape that into something that would be effective for a Forum Theater event. And to me, that's part of the mystery and the science of what you do. I don't know if you can say anything about that. It's like asking a...
And a very pleasant good morning and welcome to this edition of Education Matters here on WGTD-HD, serving Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. And our programs can also be heard in northeastern Illinois.
Good morning, Steve. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you. You know, one of the things I always like to start out with, besides a whole list of questions that I have, is for you to maybe just tell our audience who Rose Hunt is, and then we'll go from there.
Well, I hail from the great state of Wisconsin. I was born and raised in Chippewa Falls. I now live just over the border in Hebron, Illinois, with my husband. And I joined Civil Air Patrol 26 plus years ago when my son became a cadet in the program. And it did a great deal for him and building his future. And so I continue to give here at Civil Air Patrol.
And doing my research as a good host of a public affairs program, you have been quoted many, many times with regards to your two-word philosophy, and that is people first. I know that sounds very simple, but why is that so important to you, and how did you come up with that particular philosophy?
Well, leaders may be born, but it takes professional growth. Has been one of inspiration, transformation, and evolution. And taking what I've learned from great leaders and what I've learned from the not so great, my leadership philosophy is summed up by two words: people first. A good leader must first set a good example and live up to our core values of Civil Air Patrol, both in and outside of the office. By practicing servant leadership and caring for our members while holding them accountable to the high professional standards set by Civil Air Patrol's core values, I've learned that they will take care of each other and the organization. And we must provide a culture of diversity and inclusion to grow leaders from all walks of life. The cost of this is zero, but the rewards are infinite. The future of our region and Civil Air Patrol rests on the shoulders of our future leaders, and it is our job to grow these leaders. Breaking down barriers at all levels is essential. There shouldn't be any roadblocks. Instead, we have guardrails of Civil Air Patrol's core values, strategic vision, regulations, keeping us moving forward. And we must establish open and accessible communication between wing commanders, staff, and members, so each one feels valued. And that's what taking care of your humans is all about.
You know, as you were saying that, you know, I'm thinking this program is airing on Saturday the 18th. But just in a few weeks, actually on December 1st, will be the official 82nd anniversary of the Civil Air Patrol. It was actually created originally, not officially, but originally back in the 1930s, but officially a week before, less than a week before the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. As you think about the Civil Air Patrol and your role as region commander, why is it so important for us to remember not only how it started and when, but why it is so important today in 2023?
Civil Air Patrol, we're proud of our great history, and they have led us, all of our prior volunteers have led us to where we are today. Creating a youth program, an aerospace program, and an emergency service program gives us a plethora of opportunities for volunteers to share their talents and skills across all of the United States and overseas. We have some overseas squadrons also. It is imperative that we continue as an organization to help foster the leadership skills and core values and character development, not just of our cadets, but also our senior members, and contributing around our communities, states, and nation.
You mentioned the three CAP missions: emergency services, aerospace, education, and cadet programs. Maybe if you could just talk briefly about why those three are so important, and how we can educate adult volunteers and those cadets to carry out those missions.
That's a big question for a short span of time, but I'll do my best.
Okay.
Well, which can be small as a single unit or our entire region, or even national training events in conjunction with the Air Force. Our aerospace education arm, Civil Air Patrol, has an internal and external AE program. The internal program focuses on teaching all of our cadets and senior members using accredited curriculum, STEM kits, and subject matter experts. The external program provides an accredited curriculum and a variety of STEM kits to teachers in our communities who join our aerospace education program as an AE member for a one-time fee of $35. Educating volunteers and teens to carry out missions, I think of as training, inwardly focused. We have all manners of training for duty positions, specialty cracks, value, proficiency flying, leadership and fitness training, etc., to make the CAP mission ready. But from an education outreach perspective, our AE programming begins educating with kindergarten to 12 aerospace and chem STEM education and includes more than 40 educational products aligned to national academic standards that range from hands-on activity books for the youngest learners
to of a local school board here in Western Kenosha County. And what, you know, when I look at the overall mission, a wonderful website, the Civil Air Patrol website, but what can we do to get the word out there, and not just the word, but get the message out there of the importance of the Civil Air Patrol and why it's such an important...
To help carry our message. We are a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization, and so our funding doesn't allow for large marketing campaigns. Boards, our teachers help with that. Being invited to teacher events, be out on this type of radio program, Education Matters, it gives us the platform to help people understand what we have available for them.
As you look at your role as region commander, the six wings, six states, Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Michigan, and Ohio.
Members are growing at a steady rate. We have over 3,100 cadets, which are the folks that are 12 to 21 years old. And we have over 3,300 native members in Great Lakes region. We have over 1,200 aerospace education members, which are the teachers that partake in Civil Air Patrol. And we have 53 aircraft, many vehicles, laptops, communication gears, and real property that we care for. And in Civil Air Patrol, resources and fundings are very limited and precious commodities. And therefore, it's my responsibility to the Air Force, Civil Air Patrol, Congress, taxpayers, and our members to be a good steward of these commodities.
Why is it that it seems like many people are not aware that the Civil Air Patrol is part of the Air Force Auxiliary? I was an Air Force ROTC, so I was very, very much aware of the CAP, and that was in Florida. And so why is it that even though it's on the website, why do you think people...
Air Patrol is the best kept secret, and we are working diligently to educate and get our message out to... through the Air Force, through CAP, USAF, and all of our other partners to help to promote Civil Air Patrol. We've recently been added to the Air Force webpage as one of their volunteer opportunities, which just happened in the last couple of months. And so we're just continuing to grow those relationships and build those relationships out in our communities and on bases. And, you know, we work with not only the Air Force, but all branches of the military, and they are very hospitable, allowing us to use their bases. And it's truly an honor to work with all of our military branches.
If you're just joining us here on Education Matters this morning, my guest is Colonel Rose Hunt. She is the Region Commander of the Civil Air Patrol. You know, as an aside, in reading more about your own history, I read that you went from being a waitress to head a whole chain of restaurants. If I could ask this very personal question, what is it about your character, the character of Rose Hunt, that has created such a success story?
Well, Rose Hunt was a very shy person growing up. I am number 5 of 16 children, and our parents instilled in us the values of hard work, honesty, humility, and helping others. It was never really about success to me, but instead just working hard and doing the right things while caring for my staff and my children. It has always been important to me to continue to grow as a person. Being the most shy person in my graduating class in high school, it is hard to look back and remember that person sometimes, because through my career in the restaurant business and hospitality, being sitting on state boards, working on a governor's task force, being a leader in Civil Air Patrol, and being able to interact with members of Congress and 4 or 5-star generals, it has really just helped me to broaden my horizons and give back to my community and state and nation, and also help grow my family.
Mm-hmm. In reading more about your own history, I read what Brigadier General Regina A. had to say about you, and she's the Brigadier General at the national level. And one of the things that General A. said was, and these are her words, "If I had to choose one aspect of her character," meaning you, Colonel Hunt, "that has impressed me most, it is her ability to persevere when faced with challenges. She has overcome every barrier to success that life has thrown at her and kept a positive attitude." As you listened to that, and as you read it, and as you've heard her say to you, what does all that mean to you as you look at trying to translate that into your own thoughts? Maybe if you could express what that means to you.
It's very humbling to me that someone I respect and admire so much, Brigadier General Regina A., feels that way about me. But life, I think, is about persevering. I spent 9 months in a wheelchair due to an illness, and it was a very difficult time, not just physically, but mentally. And I had to persevere. And when I met with my rheumatologist in the first part of 2000, she told me that stress and anxiety are the two main accelerators of my disease. And I learned at that point then to stay positive and be a positive person, because I have great faith. And the faith instilled by my parents and through our education, we all went to all years in Catholic high school, that faith has really helped me to focus on future, family, and the importance of just being a kind human being versus getting caught up in drama or things I cannot change.
One of the things I always like to ask my guest here on Education Matters. As you look back and you're at your own formal education, was there a teacher in elementary school or middle school or high school? You said you were in the Catholic Archdiocese system. A teacher, a priest. Was there someone that would be at the top of your list of his or her impact on you as a person and as an adult in particular?
Oh, gosh, there were so many. I was truly blessed by having a plethora of amazing teachers. You know, a couple that weren't so amazing, you learn lessons from them also. But Mr. Raisler from my high school, Ms. Fry, she was our PT. She was also my coach. Oh, Mr. McDermott, there are just so many. When you ask that question, all of their faces and the impact just flood back to my memories.
Which high school was that, by the way?
I went to, for elementary school, grade school, I went to St. Charles Borromeo Catholic School in Chippewa Falls. And then I went to McDonald Central High School. And that's where I spent my 4 years being formed to be an adult.
Sure. You know, is it hard to stay in touch with cadets with regards to your role as region commander? I mean, how do you interact with cadets today?
Honestly, the cadets are my passion. My son, who left Civil Air Patrol 24 plus years ago because he went into the Air Force and since retired, he asks me, Mom, why do you still do it? You know, I'm grown up. It's because Civil Air Patrol made an impact on my son. And it continues to make an impact on me every single day as I watch our cadets grow and their professional committee at every echelon, where they bring the cadet voice to us and help us work on projects and provide impact, because one third of Civil Air Patrol, almost half our membership, are cadets, and we need to take care of them. We need to listen to them. We need to be relevant in today's society. And we have a Jan X Mark Smith Innovation Prize, and each year there's a first, second, and third place on the national level. And last year, one of our cadets won first place, and that was pretty cool to me. Mm-hmm. Cadets can do anything. You just have to listen and learn.
Sure. And again, another quote from you, if you've made them feel important and valued, they will do great work. You need to help them understand the why. Always start with the why. And this is an obvious follow-up question to that, or not a follow-up, but a question is, why is that so important based on what I just read?
It is so important because people need to understand the why. People need to feel valued and understand the vision to create a buy-in. Members are attracted to an organization celebrating respect, dignity, value, excellence, and success. Me as a commander, I must live the culture and provide a safe, inclusive, fun place to volunteer. Well, I always say to people, take care of your humans, because we need to remember that every person is a human being with skills, feelings, differences, and struggles. And in my opinion, very humble opinion, it takes much less energy to be kind to others.
If you had the opportunity to talk directly, which you actually are doing right now through this program, but to parents out there who, you know, obviously always have a great deal of interest in what their children do. I'm a parent, my son TC, but decided not to. But as you talk to parents, and you're doing that right now, if you had to come up with some comments to them about why joining the Civil Air Patrol is something that would be very valuable to her or him, what would you say to those parents?
I could say, I wish I knew about Civil Air Patrol when I was growing up, because I was a very shy person. And I watch cadets, male and female, come in at no matter what the age, whether it's 12 or 17, they come in and sometimes they're very shy. And watching them grow as humans is just, it is just so motivational and inspiring to me. People also have a misconception that Civil Air Patrol, because we kind of look like the Air Force because we're the auxiliary, that we are grooming for all children to go into the military, and that's not correct. We're helping children to grow to be better leaders, better people, learning how to, you know, our core values of respect, service, excellence, and integrity. Those core values, we need to expand across all of humankind, so we are treating people with the respect that they deserve and the dignity that they deserve. And that, I think, is the biggest bonus of Civil Air Patrol and helping our youth to understand what it really takes to grow to be a inspirational and kind person in our world today.
Colonel Rosehun, I want to thank you so much for being my guest this morning here on Education Matters. And I will make sure that on the WGTD website, when this program is archived, that I'll put the link to the Civil Air Patrol as well as the Great Lakes region. And I want to thank you so much for your time, and not just your time today, but all that you do for our nation, for our students, for our parents. And again, thank you so much.
My pleasure. May I just add one quick thing? If you are a teacher out there in the science, education, technology, math fields, and you're interested in becoming an aerospace education member, please reach out to us on our website. You can get to the Great Lakes region. You can get to my email. It's rhunt@cap.nhu.gov. And we are willing to help pay for that part of
anything I should have asked. And that's great. Again, Colonel Rosehun, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Just before going into segment two of Education Matters this morning, where we'll have a chance to have a conversation with two of the cadets in the Civil Air Patrol, I wanted you to hear just a few minutes of a documentary that was on the History Channel about the Civil Air Patrol.
Today, a remnant of World War II reconnaissance still protects the nation. The Civil Air Patrol is the all-volunteer auxiliary of the U.S. Air Force. They pick up the slack in homeland security. Civil Air Patrol is both tactical and extremely practical.
We have a multitude of threats that face us domestically. There's no way that we could possibly raise taxes enough to generate enough money to pay people to cover all these points.
1941. The Civil Air Patrol is formed just 6 days before the attack on Pearl Harbor. During World War II, the volunteers' mission is clear. Protect the U.S. coastline from marauding German U-boats.
There was a desperate need to deal with these submarines, these Nazi submarines off our coastline, that were blowing our convoys totally out of the water.
Civil Air Patrol volunteers find 100 coast.
Our resources were so thin at that time that whatever we had was overseas. We had nothing for Homeland Security. It was an imperative, and we're providing Homeland Security missions today as we speak.
As Civil Air Patrol cadets, they're developing into responsible citizens serving their communities by helping with CAP's real-world emergencies and humanitarian missions. CAP is the volunteer nonprofit auxiliary of the program of mentoring in cadets a love of aviation, space, and technology. Cadets are encouraged to develop a lifelong habit of physical fitness because CAP handles 85% of inland search and rescue missions across the nation, saving an average of 70 lives each year. You see, Civil Air Patrol team cadets and adult senior members don't just develop character. Through selfless service to their community, they truly honor America. Learn more by visiting capmembers.com.
We continue now with segment two of Education Matters, an interview I did with two of the cadets of the Civil Air Patrol assigned to the squadron in Elkhorn, Wisconsin. And I'm very pleased to have two Civil Air Patrol cadets joining me, Lucas Wagner and also Juniper Hoxett. Welcome to both of you.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, sir.
First of all, let's start with Lucas. If you could first tell our audience where you go to school, what grade you're in, and then I'll ask the same of Juniper.
I go to school at Elkhorn Area High School, and I'm in grade 10.
Okay, very good. And you, Juniper?
I go to Fox River Middle School in Waterford, and I'm in the 8th grade.
Okay, very good. The first question, and I have a series of questions, and just, you know, the first question that I'll ask both of you, we'll start with Lucas. What is your current rank in the CAP, Lucas? What is your rank?
I'm a senior airman.
Okay, very good. You know, the first question is an obvious question. We'll start with Lucas. What was it that created the initial interest for you to get CAP?
One of my friends joined.
And Juniper, what was it that got you interested in joining the CAP?
I also want my private pilot's license, and I was introduced to it by my parents, and okay. It seemed very interesting.
Lucas, a question.